I know 1,000 people have said it today, but I feel for you.
Yeah.
I feel for you if you grew up with this, and if this is right in the middle of your heart and your DNA, this should not be this way. And I feel for you.
Yeah, I agreed, and I appreciate the sentiment because I became an East Bay guy. I became an A's fan more so over time when in 2001, I'll never forget, it was 9/11, happened on a Tuesday, and that shook me to my core, and I was living in San Francisco with my three-month-old and my ex-wife, and I told her the next day or the day after, I said, we need to buy a house. This has to happen now. Life feels to me like it's, you know, tentative or fleeting, whatever. I was 33, but that shook me to my core. So we went shopping for a house, and we found one in Oakland, and we moved our four-month-old to Oakland, and we lived there together for 24 years, and she still is there. And so my kids grew up as Oakland residents. They were K-12 kids. Elementary, middle, high school. So we became an Oakland family. Even though I grew up in Marin, and my ex-wife did as well, my kids are born and raised in Oakland. So when you grow up in Oakland as a kid, it's A's and Raiders and Warriors. And the Warriors at the time were, of course, in Oakland. So our template was A's games. So from the time they were 6 or 7 years old until the time where, you know, John Fisher made it untenable to be an A's fan, we were A's fans, and we went to between 5 and 10, 15 games a year, and you'd go there with your good friends and the Crawfords and the Whitakers and the Burrows and all and the Quintellas, and I'll mention them a lot today because they were the people. It was a tribe. There were 16 or 20 of us, and you'd go on a Thursday or a Friday or a Tuesday and, hey, what are you guys doing? Let's go to the A's game. And you'd go, and it would be 14,000 of your closest friends, and it was great, and the collie was close, and the tailgate was awesome, and it was a real thing. So for me, today, Mark, is not about anger. I'm done with anger.
Okay.
For me, the anger is, and you can feel whatever you want to feel at 888-957-9570. I'm not telling you how to feel. My anger is over because it's a done deal. This is going to happen. Today's the last A's game at the Coliseum, and so for me, it's a mix of sadness and nostalgia, because I have great memories in that building. It's not really a building. It's an arena. It's an outdoor venue. But my memories that I have there are coming flooding back. And so today for me is not about the anger part. And yes, there's anger. There's plenty of anger for everyone. But for me, it's about watching this game and feeling the feelings about this being the last one there.
What is the emotion?
Sadness for me. It's sadness. And it's not only for the A's, but it's sadness for Oakland in general. Because we all talked about this 10 years ago. And whatever, the Raiders left, and they came back, and they left again. And even when they came back, the way they came back was kind of dirty. They changed the Coliseum forever with Mount Davis. The Coliseum used to be an open, beautiful, wonderful outfield experience that was forever changed when Al Davis came back. And even today, Mount Davis is tarped because they don't want to sell those seats. They don't want to have additional employees up there and all the rest of it. So for me, the feelings today, the emotions are, it's sadness and it's nostalgia.
I'm sure that you speak for many with that. I got to tighten the screws on the word anger. Because, I don't want it to be disingenuous. Like, it's a different kind of anger. I don't come at it from the A's fan type of an anger.
Right.
I think
yours is authentic about, and you said it yesterday about, like, franchise movement in general.
Is all, I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. I don't know why there isn't more of a commitment when something like this happens. I firmly believe there are reasons. Maybe there are reasons. If you're literally in a spot where you are unable to get people to come to your building, or you are unable to get people to care about your team. But I really, Dibs, I don't know if I've ever seen that in sports. I don't know. I understand owners know exactly how to make it look like that. But you just did a wonderful job of detailing that. I watched the Chargers do it too. You cannot tell me that we've ever in this country, at least not in my memory, in my lifetime, have we seen a team that actually just has nobody care about it. We get those reputations, but they're built. They're built. They're built by the hands of the greedy owners. They know exactly how to do it. You don't update your stadium. You don't make things easy for your fans. You get rid of all your good players whenever they get good. There's a blueprint that you follow. And then the most offensive thing of all is these cockamamie renderings that you come up with. Stir up everybody's excitement and emotion. And then you pitch it through city channels in such a way where it is literally built to fail. And you know that. You actually build those projects in such a way that you ensure that they fail. And I want everyone to know that today. Howard Terminal, they sold you a goose. That was literally a situation where people sat down and wrote things in such a way to ensure that it would never happen. Because what they're actually doing is they are covering their butts in court, because when you buy a team, it is known that in legal documents, you can't move without what's called a, quote, good faith effort.
Exactly.
So there's our good faith effort. We tried. It got voted down. Oh, darn, infrastructure, government, we gone.
That thing was a toxic dump, and they were trying to sell people on a gondola that would go over the Amtrak train tracks, which run, as you know, from Jack London. The Amtrak runs right down Jack London Square and around. It's the main train route that goes from the South Bay all the way out to Sacramento and beyond. And so that train route cannot be changed. And so John Fisher tried to sell you on a gondola that would carry you from the BART station on Broadway, from 12th and Broadway. You get on a gondola and you go up and above, you know, Old Town, and it drops you right down into a stadium where, yeah, they would have needed hundreds of millions of dollars in just toxic waste reclamation.
Yeah, which you're not going to get in the state of California. That's the funny thing, is you can build a project right now that's a ballpark anywhere in California. You don't need renderings. You don't need all of these fancy little poison pills they stick in there. All you need to do is ask for one public dollar. And the answer will be no, because it should be. The answer should be no. I don't know, and this is me being in a utopian state of mind, but when you buy a franchise, it's such a license to print money. I don't understand why, as part of that deal, why is there not, A, the promise you ain't going anywhere, and B, the commitment that, say, every, I don't know, name a number, 30 years, at minimum, there's a mass renovation of your home. Because that's the other thing that they hide behind. Oh, the decrepit building, and oh, the facilities. All right. You need updating? Like, then you need to do that. That's part of the deal, because when you bought this thing, in theory, 30 years ago, it was worth $500,000, and now it's worth $4 billion. How about if you take out a loan against that unbelievable wealth that you just built and do something for your product? That is how businesses are run. That's how franchises, I hate that we use that word for these, because they're not. They're not. A franchise owes something to its parent company. And Major League Baseball and all of these leagues,
yeah,
they sit there and let one of their franchisees drag their name through the mud. And I know, as you said, well, but all the other people get a bunch of money out of it. Great. You're losing branding in a major market. And because we love sports so much, it is okay to them. There is no penalty.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care. They're about the dollar, and that's why what John Fisher has done, and you look at the attendance over the last 4 years post-pandemic, they haven't even gotten to 1 million fans. And you watch today when you've got an absolutely sold out Coliseum. And if you had a product that was as good as it was back in the 20 teens, and I think about the years where they actually were on our station. We were the flagship station of the Oakland A's. And just a little bit of a history lesson for everybody. It was, I believe, April 15th, 2011.
Okay.
I was driving through the city, and I was just flipping the stations as I do. And I was working for another radio station at the time. And as I'm flipping, I hear 95.7. The Wolf, the country station, and they're doing what stations do when they flip format, and they're playing the same recording over and over.
Over and over again.
And I'm like, what is this? And a guy walked in front of me in a crosswalk who I knew, who used to work at the radio station I worked at, and he had become an employee of The Wolf. And I rolled down my window, and I said, hey, Josh, what the heck is going on? And he said, call me later. And I called him later, and he told me what was happening. 95.7, which at the time was an Entercom property, they were rushing to market to beat CBS Radio to not only launch a sports station to compete with that other station that will remain nameless, but they also were going to grab the A's. And I said, wow, this is actually perfect for me because I'm looking for a change in my career. Skip ahead 6 weeks. I get hired. 2 months later, the Rise guys launch. 95.7 The Game becomes a station. We have the A's, and the rest is ongoing history. But what happened those next 3 years is the A's were incredible. They drew 1.7, 1.8, and 2 million fans. They were a playoff team 3 years running. And things were good in this market. Things were good with that product. And then you get further down the road, and then John Fisher takes control, and that's kind of where we are. I guess the upshot of this for me, Mark, is that it's not that long ago where they were not only viable, but they were like you're seeing today. Popular.
Yeah, look at
full houses.
Look at the stadium.
It was like a legitimate product. And you know, one man, as we like to say, was largely responsible with driving this thing into the ground. It just it devastates me.
Yeah, and I, look, as I said earlier, he's enemy number one. And you're not wrong by saying one man drove this whole thing into the ground.
Yeah.
Boy's got a lot of accomplices.
Well, and the number one accomplice is, and again, my emotions today will be conflicted because Dave Cavill was singularly responsible for my come up in the TV world because he heard me call one game of the San Jose Earthquakes and he liked it so much that he gave me the job. And so that was Dave Cavill who did that for me. And then I see what he's done as the front man, the shill, the schlock.
Well, he gets a lot of words thrown at him. He's just a sellout. He's somebody who decided to hand over his character in exchange for money. I know a lot of people who've done that. That's not to excuse it.
No.
But he took a job and he's doing it. He's doing it, right? Like he is the press secretary.
He's the bag man.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the bag man.
All right. So here's how this is going to go here for, quite frankly, as long as y'all want it to. 888-957-9570. And I don't want to put out a question or a rule or anything. Just, it's your floor to share.
How you feeling?
It's your floor to share. And obviously, we're going to be on the air as the game ends. So if anybody is listening in and around the stadium, we really, really want to hear from people as they're heading home. Larry Beal, who uncorked an unbelievable piece of content on TV the other night about John Fisher, is going to join us in 10 minutes. We'll get his thoughts. Mike Holmgren is going to come on the show today as well. Obviously, there'll be a little football there, but Mike's going into the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame, and he's awesome, and we'll talk to him about all things. I also want to share this, get your reaction to this. I don't know if you saw this. They've announced the attendance at today's game. The A's game, 46,889 fans are inside that building right now, and it is the largest crowd in MLB history in a city that is hosting its final home game. So the A's and you fans who have been told for years and years that you don't care, you just set the record for the largest final day of attendance in the history of Major League Baseball. And oh, by the way, it's not even close. The previous record was just over 31,000 in Montreal. Today,
wow.
Today you got almost 47,000 people to go to that baseball game at the Oakland Coliseum.
It's incredible, and it's emotional for me because I've been to so many games at the Coliseum back to my youth, and even as an adult when I raised my kids in Oakland, where that was the thing. And I talked earlier about the Josh Hamilton game where he drops the fly ball in 2012, and that game was absolutely shoulder to shoulder. And as Guru said earlier, the Coliseum was rocking, and it's there. That's the thing that is so maddening and so frustrating is you're not going to draw 46,000 every game, but this is there. They could draw 30,000. And I go back to my youth in the 80s when they were drawing 2.7 and 2.8 million and the Giants were drawing 800,000.
Of course.
At Candlestick. Yep. So this is there, and the fact that this is no longer going to be there is maybe the ultimate frustration.
Of course it's there. Of course it's there.
It's been there.
Don't let anyone ever tell you different. That's absurd.
I know, but we've kind of been conditioned to...
Because that's the game they play.
Exactly.
And they know how to create that if they need to. Dean Spanos did it in San Diego. John Fisher has done it in Oakland. We've watched other teams do it as well. I think that there was a little bit of this in St. Louis before the Rams left. Oh, it's a baseball town. It's a baseball town. It's a baseball town. It's like, stop. Stop. And that's already a team that had already relocated. And so you can't say that relocations never should have happened. I mean, we sit here and the Giants and the Dodgers and the Warriors and everybody. These are all relocated teams, but it's a different time. It's 150 years later in some cases.
Back then it was manifest destiny.
Yeah.
Now it's a cash grab.
Lousy, you're trying to figure it out back then. You're trying to expand.
Wait, now, California's a state?
Yeah, now, right?
Let's go.
Let's get in the back here and bring a baseball team. Yeah, like now you're just a jerk. That's it. What's the difference? And I know this bothers me, and I've learned to appreciate it because we live in California, and so there are millionaires everywhere, and I've learned that even millionaires still care about, like, the price of groceries. But to me, there's a responsibility not on your individual income. If you're richer than your friend, you don't have to pay for dinner every time. You don't. But if you own a sports franchise, okay, a product that is emotionally tied to the customer. You're not Home Depot. I need a lug nut. That's different. I'm not emotionally tied to how you're doing at the end of the day, Home Depot. But I am if you're a sporting franchise, and there has to be, or I guess should be, some responsibility that goes along with that for whoever owns them. But I also know we're screaming into the wind.
Yeah, because they, and by they I mean the commissioners and owners, they don't see it that way. They're sitting right now in a boardroom with their cigar, just, they don't care. And you'd be hard-pressed to find an owner that does care. And I do think that Joe Lacob and the Warriors is a guy who kind of cares, but when push comes to shove, post-Steph Curry, we'll see how much he cares. And it took the Giants being sold to keep them right from going to St. Pete.
Right.
So let's not pretend that this is a new phenomenon.
No, not at all. Not at all. But it's one that in this day and age of the finances attached to sports should stop. This day and age.